Om Shanti. Good morning, everyone. Baba says something so beautiful in today's Moli that a good definition of tapasya is to keep Baba in our eyes, in our hearts, on our lips, probably with the emphasis on the word keep, but that implies some sort of constancy. And all of this series of mulis on tapasya, actually what Baba wants us to do is to get into a natural state where we are just naturally expressing virtues, especially purity. And of course there's a lot of requirements to be able to get to that state. So I'd like to share some ideas around tapasya. It's been the theme of the last many mulis. And of course there are different angles that we can look at, but especially I'd like to explore the connection between balance and tapasya. To have tapasya, we need balance in our spiritual lives. And balance is also a result of tapasya, so it sort of feeds itself. More tapasya, more balance, more balance, more tapasya. So it sort of, it spirals us upwards if we can get that connection right. And there are a lot of balances. Yesterday I was with some Kumaris, a little group of Kumaris upstairs, and they were asking me lots of questions. And I was sharing that it is for us who speak English an unfortunate translation of dharana. We call it imbibing. Imbibing is this. Is to drink or to consume a liquid. So that implies that what I have to do is outside of me. It's not. What I have to do is to express something which is already in me. I am pure. I just don't know it, or I don't connect with it. But if you look at our sanskars, we have all of the sanskars of perfection, but they're a little bit messed up. So we need to somehow connect what is deeply true inside of us, and Baba talks about that today as well, the truth of the soul, which is connected to the reality of the soul and the royalty of the soul. In fact, in Spanish and Portuguese, the word real and royal is the same word. It's not different. So my deep purity, my deep perfection, naturally, if I am more connected with that, I will have a behavior that is very correct, very appropriate according to whatever happens. If I have that deeper state, I can adjust more easily because I'm not being affected by the things that are happening around me. Now, to get to that is a challenge, right? Do you agree? To be able to be like that. I reckon that 99% of all problems between Brahmins could be sorted out with good manners, royal behaviour, in other words. We should have learned a lot of that at home. In the retreat that I conducted in Finland, it's called Dharana-based leadership. It means basing your ability to deal with people and situations on the deep dharana that Baba wants us to have, and not, you know, anything else. You know, we are Baba's instruments. We're not the instruments of our own egos. And so the way we interact with others has to be in a way that Baba would consider appropriate. He would approve, in other words. And I was just sharing some pretty basic ideas, and because it was a course designed for our center coordinators or country coordinators, so one of the country coordinators said, but we should know this stuff. I was just sharing really basic ideas. But we should know this stuff. Everyone knows this stuff. We know the basics, right? But how come we don't connect up what we deeply have inside of us with the way we do things, the way we interact with others, especially in service? And that's why, you know, if I think about the connection between balance and tapasya, there are a few things we have to consider. The first is quite obvious, the balance between karma and yoga. It doesn't only mean to do actions in Baba's remembrance, but it means to do those actions which Baba would approve. Baba would support the sort of behavior that he would say, yes, this is the right and royal and correct and pure behavior. So it's not just remembering Baba when I'm sweeping the floor, right? Or karma yoga is a very deep thing, probably our biggest challenge, to have that balance while we go about things, you know. We are still, if I open my eyes, the world that I see is a tamapradan world. Even the best that matter can offer, you know, the most beautiful scenes, the elements are still tamapradan. Whatever. I look at this world of bodies, all of the bodies are getting, you know, falling apart slowly, isn't it? We all in the last 10 years we've all aged exactly 10 years, right? All of us. And we've got less hair, less teeth maybe, more wrinkles. So we become amazed that the body's getting older, but the soul still feels the same. And of course that's where everything starts. In fact, I really only have one effort. I have to be soul conscious. And that opens the door to everything, even to remembrance. Everything that we study implies that we are souls, right? We are studying for the golden age. Who's going to go to the golden age? The soul. So I, the soul, am studying all of this. Who's doing Baba's service? The soul. Who is related to God? It's the soul. Who connects with God? It's the soul. So when I sit in meditation, I have to go beyond this identity that I'm carrying, right? I always like to remember that it's according to drama, but it's so lovely that you can understand Baba in his original words, most of you here. But the Westerners, we have to sort of figure it out, because the translations are not exactly the same. we sort of have an approximate idea of what Baba's saying, but not exactly. You take the word, and this is the balance that we need, ahamkar, which means, we translate as ego or arrogance, but actually it means me and what I do. Aham, me, kar, what I do. So, me and my creation. So people walk around with a big head, right? Because their head is full of everything that they've done. They're walking and they sit down with their creation inside their head. I can't meditate, really, unless I detach from the car. The action, the creation. The creation doesn't go to Baba, just the creator. Do you think about it? What have you been thinking for the last 24 hours? How much was it related to what you think you are and what you're doing? How much? What percentage? Even you become a BK, it's not different, right? Before it was me and what I did in Kali Yuga, now it's me and what I do in the Confluence Age. What's the difference? None. If I can't detach, can't do it. So the first balance is between karma and yoga. What I do is something that Baba would like me to do. And I'm doing it in a way that he would like me to do it. That's what karma yoga is. Because he's with me while I'm doing what he wants, because I'm his instrument. Why wouldn't he be my companion? It's a very deep thing. Then the second balance is related to, you know, being the soul in action, I suppose. It's connected, but it's the conscious experience of the avyak state. Now, why does the avyak state exist? Why does the subtle region exist, for example? It's to help the Iron Age become the Golden Age. Baba says, when I come, I establish the subtle regions. And of course, that's definitely necessary because of Brahma Baba's role. So the avyak state is actually not for me to enjoy myself, though that's there, I will enjoy myself, but that's not the primary reason for having it. It's to become Baba's instrument, to serve further than what I can touch physically or I can say physically, or the Brahma Baba became avyakt so that his service could be more unlimited, and I become avyakt, even staying here, so that I can become unlimited. To do what? To serve, right? It's not for any other reason. It's to serve at a subtle level, to help, to participate in the army that is giving sakash to the world. It's not my sakash, it's Baba using the soul. So this is absolutely essential, because if I'm not serving, why would Baba give me power? Just for me? So that I can feel good? No. It's not for me. It's for the world. It's to give to others what Baba's given to us. So that I'm just going around and around in my own things, when will I break out of that prison? It's a prison. Work, home, global house, work home, global house, work home, global house. Maybe you come here to do a task, but maybe that task has become so routine that you forget the sublime nature of it, maybe. You see, there is a reality behind the appearances, and that's what we have to understand. What's the real reason why I make effort? What's the real reason that I help in service? What's the real reason that I meditate? That's the real reality. And it's connected with my original state. My reality and the expression of that reality is the essence of spiritual sadhana, right? The spiritual effort that we have to do, the endeavor. It's the essence. The meaning of what we're doing keeps us moving. It's not what I do, it's why I do things that keeps me going. If I just get into a world of what is just a world of objects and things, situations, but why is something that's me moving at the depth, at the very essence of the soul. And so I will, if I'm conscious that, okay, I'm available for Baba to use me as an instrument, then experiencing the avyak state becomes natural, easy. Because I'm having that experience in order to serve this world of sorrow. And I don't have to look far to see the world of sorrow, dukkadam, right? Just open my eyes. Actually, if I'm body conscious, which world am I in? Huh? I'm not in suktam. I'm in dukdam, right? Isn't it? So, if I'm not soul conscious, I'm not in the confluence age, I'm in Kali Yuga. Is that right? If I'm not in the confluence age, I'm not transforming, I'm not going to the golden age, I'm stuck, as Baba says, in the bog. If I'm not using my time in the best possible way, my energy and my consciousness in the best possible way, my past will just creep up again and claim me. What's the past? It's just the sanskars that are recorded in the soul. So the soul is trapped in its own sanskars. And we think that there are actually things outside of our minds that we engage with. Actually, I don't create people and things, but I create the experience that I have with them. So if I'm engaged with something that's making me suffer, where does that exist? That whole situation, the way I paint it, the way I describe it to myself, the way I talk about it to myself is completely unreal. It's not real. So-and-so hurt me. No, I used that situation to hurt myself because I always would have the option to not suffer. Okay, the person did something, but I also did something. Baba talks about that today. Who's better? You look at a situation, so-and-so corrected me in public. That's what he did. What about me? I got angry. I got upset. I said some nasty words to the person who corrected me in public. Okay, who's better than whom? That person is, you know, frustrated, he's having difficulties, you know, he doesn't understand the full picture, he's got partial information, he is badly informed, and so He also has a history of being pessimistic and aggressive. Why would he act differently if that's the sanskars that are moving him? But what about me? I got angry, I got upset, I who is better than whom, you know? That one's frustrated, I'm also frustrated. That one got angry, I also got angry. That one, you know, becoming indignant is the same as becoming angry. It's just arrogance with a halo. So let's stop blaming others and using others' examples as excuses for our own mediocrity, our own sort of more or less effort. So the experience of the Avyak state is absolutely essential to help me to get things balanced, because that puts me in the confluence age, that puts me as Baba's instrument, that puts me having a right to get power from Baba in order to serve, not to help myself, but to serve. I help myself when I serve, but when I try to serve myself, I can't help myself. Serving opens up the whole possibility of becoming powerful. But serving, of course, in the right consciousness. And the third area of balance is like based on what we know. You know, I have to activate my third eye. I have to become Trinetri. That means I have to, it's not just my third eye, it's my third ear as well, right? The way I hear things, the way I see things. I can interpret everything according to Baba's Gyan. If I don't, I get confused. What is happening after all? It's an eternal drama. Each soul is playing their role. Why would they act differently if they're being impelled by their own sanskars? I have to understand how my sanskars impel me. I have to bring out the depth. I guess the best translation of dharana is not imbibing, it's bringing out. I have to bring out what is best in me. And I can only do that if I'm filtering things with the best knowledge, right? Everyone's a soul, everyone has a role, I have my role. I can only change my role, I can't change other people's roles. Everyone's got their own karmic account, me too. I have to settle my karmic account, and the karmic account of someone else is not my karmic account. So why would I suffer because someone is suffering? That's not what compassion is. Compassion is to help the soul overcome the suffering and not to suffer together with them. So I have to open my eyes and see the things as they are, and that will definitely keep me in balance. Then the other two, it's like the Trikaldashi helps me keep the context of what's happening, past, present, future, now, right? Baba says stay on the confluence of the things. What's happened before, what's happening now, what's going to happen. So I open up my perception, I make myself broad. Then when I have a broad perception based on the whole cycle, right, I have a better chance to be stable. When I have a narrow perception based on something that happened yesterday, you know, I've narrowed my perception to, you know, just a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of the drama. How can I be stable? It's like trying to stand on one toe and keep balanced. It won't happen. You won't be able to do it. If you try to do that, it's very painful, right? Especially for the toe. So if we open up our perception, include the whole cycle, right? And not just my cycle, everyone else's cycle. Imagine how it is for Baba when he sees souls. He sees the whole picture. We only see a glimpse of something. How someone appears to be. But Baba sees how souls are. Why can't I train myself to see souls, how souls are, not what they appear to be? So Trikal Dashi gives me a context and balance, right? Context means what I have to do now. The other one, of course, you know, I was thinking this morning about how helicopters keep, they've got something called a gyroscope. There's a sort of a thing that makes the helicopter able to stop in midair or to turn around, go up, go down, go forward, go back, and even stop. It's a sort of a gadget that keeps the helicopter stable no matter which way it's going. So I've also got a gyroscope. One is the Trikal Dashi, is this way, and the other is the Trilokina, up and down. So imagine if I really if I really started to have a good transit between this world and the subtle world and the incorporeal world, like I can go up and down. I'm the same soul, right? And in one moment I'm incorporeal, the next moment I'm let me imbibe. So in the same you know, I just go beyond and I'm aware of the physical world, but I'm not feeling it. That's subtle. I'm not pulled by it, or I'm not attracted to it. I just see it as it is. Subtle. We all have that experience. People, you know, if you think that meditation, I mean the subtle experience, you have to have some sort of a vision. No. Some do, most don't. It's just being here, but being beyond here. And of course, the incorporeal state, I'm not aware of this world. Actually, I'm not even thinking much. Actually, not even thinking at all. I am. I am a peaceful soul. I am a peaceful soul. I don't even know what the word peace means. So I'm not thinking. I am. So these are some of the things of, it's a sort of the preparation for the state of tapasya, the deep meditation. Balance karma and yoga. Really have an experience of the avyak state and being Baba's instrument, and therefore having a right to be, to have the power. He's not going to give me power unless I'm useful. And also remember the gyroscope. You know, I have the Trikal Dashi. I've opened my perception, past, present, future. I've got a past, a big past. I've got an interesting present. I've got a big future too. So how stable does that make me? And of course the three worlds, the three floors go up and down. I've been having a good time in this building, right? It's a bit like the cycle, because you go down the stairs but you go up in the lift, right? At least I the body's not as it used to be. I probably used to run upstairs when I was younger. But we go up in a lift up to the, what's it called, upper second floor, you know. Lower ground floor. So we can go up to the soul world. We can come down to the middle floor, which is the sattva. We come down here to do something. I need to have that sort of transit. Otherwise, imagine what it's like if you come down, you stay down. And, you know, there's not enough power in the soul to go beyond things. It's like a chicken trying to fly. It can't fly because the body is heavier than the wings can support. So these are some thoughts that I wanted to share about the balance needed in order to easily get into a deep state of meditation and to experience what Baba says, the dharana of purity, the dharana of our original state, and living in our reality, our real self. And therefore, looking at the unreality and just understanding it. Om Shanti.